And we transition into Mark Simon. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Sports Info Solutions. Mark, are you there? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Well, for you, it's good afternoon. For me, yep. We had thunder and lightning all night long here in the Bay Area. And we said lightning couldn't strike twice, but it did strike twice on the San Francisco Giants. You have thoughts on that?
Yeah, good grief. It reminded me of a couple of things. It reminded me of Byung-Young Kim in the World Series in 2001.
Yep.
That was the big one. And it reminded me a little bit of Tom Niedenfuhr in the playoffs against the Cardinals in 1985 with the home run by Ozzie Smith and then the home run by Jack Clark in the next game. I can tell you, I said loud things at the TV in the case of both home runs.
What do you make of Trevor Gott? I guess did you get to see the end of the game last night?
Yes, I did. You can't give up that many home runs. That's the problem. I don't know that he necessarily thought that he was going to be the closer this year. And I don't know necessarily, it's hard to tell if he's closer material because he looked pretty good in the four saves that he got. He looked like someone that could close games. But I was rendered speechless by much of it. One other history thing. I found a couple of giant parallels. The one that I thought was at least worth bringing up is that there is the idea of redemption here. And if you go back to 87 and Scott Gerelt had a three-game stretch in 5 days where he blew the lead in the ninth inning three times. Mm. He gave up a go-ahead home run to Franklin Stubbs in one game against the Dodgers, threw a wild pitch that cost Kruko a win the next day, and then 3 days later gave up a walk-off home run to Gerald Perry of the Braves. Now, that Giant team recovered. They won the NL West. And Gerelt was really good the rest of the way. We've talked about him before on this. He was a pretty good pitcher. So I would say at least that there's historical precedent for recovery from this, and would hope that Trevor Gott can do it.
Well, do you throw him back out there again now? I'm asking as a baseball person, how do you feel?
No, I was a little surprised that at the start of the year that Tony Watson didn't get the chance to close, given that he's done it before. He felt like kind of the logical choice, and maybe it goes to him next. I would kind of do what the Mets have done with Edwin Diaz, which was that they pitched him. They've continually now pitched him. This is like four or five outings in non-safe situations. They pitched him in the eighth. They've pitched him in non-closer situations. They pitched him in the eighth. They pitched him in the seventh. He's looked really, really good, and he seems to have gotten his confidence back. And I would expect that he'll be moved back into the closer role at some point soon.
Okay, well, fair enough. Mike Fiers, 35 years old, Hollywood, Florida, 680 earned run average. The whip is 1.5 or more. Six homers like Gott, but he did 19 and two-thirds innings. 191st major league start, three solos of the six. Second and third time through, they hit him pretty good. What's up with Mike Fiers? What do things show you?
Well, you figure, given the luck of the Giants, that he throws his third career no-hitter today. He's looked really bad so far, and I think all the things that you said kind of back that up. And the issue for him is no chases. Like, typically, if you throw 50 pitches out of the strike zone in a game, he would expect in good days to get, like, 15, and he's getting, like, 9 now. So that's, like, 6 balls that would have been strikes in the past, and you reverse 6 balls and strikes, that's a lot of outcomes of at-bats that get tinkered with by the fact that he's throwing pitches that the hitters just are able to tell pretty clearly are not strikes. So I would think that that's the big thing to look at with him.
Now, Ray Fosse was on with us earlier, said that they are trying to encourage him to throw his fastball up in the strike zone, which is popular today. Ray says he's had trouble with that, but if he keeps the ball down, Ray feels that he can do a much better job. Do the numbers show that?
I will defer to Ray on that one. I would be in a good view. That's one of those questions where if we stall a little bit, I could probably try and figure them out.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he's well. You brought up the two no hitters, and he is the guy who was the whistleblower on the Astros. He has had moments in the past, and he's had a lot of strikeouts. The Giants haven't seen him in a long time. Longoria's hit him well. Belt has got a hit against him, but this is interesting because you know, Manaea and Lizardo were not great, and everyone's raving about the A's. And let's see what this guy can do.
The Giants should have won those two games. It's that simple. And you would think that eventually, like, there are two ways, I think, to look at it. Is one is, like, eventually you get the wins that you were supposed to get that you weren't getting, but it's probably too late now, given the way the Giants started. The other way I looked at it with the A's is that they've had a lot of 1986 Met kind of wins right at the start of the season with last at-bat heroics and coming back from big deficits late in games. I would not be surprised right now if you said that the ALCS was the Yankees and the A's. It would totally make sense to me, just based on the way that Oakland is winning all these games and developing this kind of refuse to lose kind of thing at this point in the season.
And they can close it, too. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Mark. We've got more questions for him. Got a lot of updates, who's hot and who's not, and things like that. And Logan Webb, we haven't touched on him yet either. So back with Mark Simon. Hey, Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Always enjoy talking with him. We'll do that when we come back right after this. All right, back with Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark, a little more information on Mike Fiers.
Yeah, see, this is how it works. You ask a question, I look it up while we're talking, and then we take a break and I get the answer. The numbers on Mike Fiers at the top of the strike zone and above are much better than the numbers for Mike Fiers at the bottom of the strike zone and below since the start of last season. So I think that's what Fossey was getting at by saying that if he's up at the top of the zone and above, that he'll be fine. And the numbers there are in the 230s, 220s, 210s. You go down 280s, 260s, 320s. Big difference. But I think that's probably true for a lot of pitchers. Top of the zone is where you tend to finish guys off with fastballs.
Logan Webb, the defense has really hurt him. A lot of extra pitches. The one thing I was impressed with Logan Webb, when they did get him the lead against the Dodgers, he looked different. And I like that in a young pitcher.
Yeah, he's had his good moments, I guess is the best way to put it. I think the thing to watch from him, if you're looking for something like specific, is the first pitch of at-bats. Opposing hitters are 6-for-9 in the first pitch of an at-bat. But if he doesn't allow them to make contact, if he gets to 0-1, they're hitting 152, 5 hits, 33 at-bats, almost nothing for extra bases. If he falls behind 1-0, it's 333, lots of hits and lots of extra bases. So throw a good – I think we might have even said this once before with him. Throw a good first pitch, don't let it be hit, and you're in pretty good shape. And I think that's what he has to figure out. He has to figure out a way to get to that point.
Yeah, he's been very good with runners on, 7-for-29, runners in scoring position, 3-for-14. For me, that's impressive for a young pitcher.
Yeah, I think we need to remember that too, that he is young. And I think that fans these days have expectations that guys are going to be stars immediately. Look at like Soto and Acuna, hitters, pitchers, same kind of thing. But a lot of guys, it takes to like year three for them to become comfortable and established and legit players. I have made a number of Met references already. I'll make one more. Dominic Smith is a good example on the Mets. He did not look good, comfortable for his first year or two. There were a lot of moments of awkwardness. This year he's homered in 4 straight games, and he was a first-round pick. Guys that are high picks, there's a reason they tend to be high picks, and sometimes it takes them 3-4 years to show it. Sometimes it takes them a couple of games to show it. But I think you have to learn to be patient with someone like Logan Webb, because I'm sure they think of him as a part of the future.
Yeah, I was always told the athleticism eventually rises to the top, and that's what I heard early on about Brandon Crawford in his career, and it was just a question of patience for him. Is the Giants defense getting any better? I know they had Pence couldn't catch the fly ball last night, and Woe gave us a good analysis of what happened on that ball. Flores had the mental mistake of not going to first base, but is the overall defense any better?
Yeah, so it's funny. If you take those plays out, those plays are magnified because of when they happen and what happened after the fact. If Trevor Gott had gotten ground balls to short to end the game immediately thereafter, we completely forget about that, and you say, okay, and it kind of exits your mind. But now those plays are kind of like burned in your brain, and probably for the rest of the season. They didn't have any other misplays or errors in either of those two games other than those two plays. Now, admittedly, they came at the wrong time. But like in terms of like the defensive run saved, they're starting to level out a little bit. They're not I think we talked about this before, that the infielders have been well positioned. They're leveling out. They're not like a negative 10 like a team like Kansas City is struggling, or a team like Anaheim or the Pirates are really struggling. In fact, the Giants are at 7 defensive runs saved, and I'm sure that you would say that seems kind of absurd. But take out if we looked at it when things were happening, they'd be like a 0 or a negative. But if you look at it in a neutral kind of environment, they look all right.
Austin Slater has the elbow issue. He couldn't go in the field, but he did lead off. And I'm not sure if that flexor is affecting his batting at all. But Austin Slater, another decent week for him, I guess, until he got hurt. He did become the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, so I will acquiesce and go to StatCast rather than looking at our stats. But there's a very simple StatCast stat that I think tells you something good about Austin Slater. They have a stat called sweet spot percentage, which is like when you get it at just when you hit a ball at like just the right launch angle. And he has the highest percentage of at-bats that are sweet spot at-bats so far this season, 64% of them, which is like 17, 18 out of 28. Mm. So that's pretty good. And the thing with him is that last year he hit the ball hard a lot, and now he's starting to see it pay off. And I think that's an encouraging thing for him. Okay. I think you can only be encouraged at this point by how he's played.
All right, I'm going to mention two names to you, Longoria and Belt, and now I'm going to speak for a little bit while you look them up. But Longoria on Friday night hit the ball very hard, a miserable road trip for him. Belt came in pinch hit and, again, struck out. He's got the calf, the heel. He wasn't in for defense last night. He was in for defense. They just needed another outfielder last night, which unfortunately they don't have. Dickerson's the only guy on the bench. So the Pence thing happened. But I want to ask you about hitting-wise, what you see with Longoria and what you see with Belt, because these are players, if Belt's healthy, he's got to play. And I know Flores, they love the platoon in there, but Belt has still got another year, and he's still an effective hitter if he can. And Longoria was hot as can be on Friday night.
Yeah, all right, start with Belt. His numbers in every area, inside, outside, up, down, middle, everything, are just awful. So it's not like, I don't think it's like bad luck or anything like that. He just, I would tend to defer to what Kerry said about the injury and wondering if that's impacting him at this point. Longoria, I think we've seen this a few times, that he tends to run very hot and very cold, and we've seen some really good streaks from him, and now we're seeing, at least in the early part of the season, he's not hitting breaking balls at all. He's been a bad sucker for those. In fact, just about all off-speed pitches have caused him problems so far. I think you wait for the hot streak with him, because you got to figure it is going to come, because his history shows that it does.
You a believer in Mike Yastrzemski?
Yeah. You know why? I think the Chase thing is the big thing. That like he goes up to the plate now, and it seems like he has a real plan. And he doesn't swing at pitches that are out of the strike zone, and he seems like he's locked in, and he has the confidence that, hey, I belong here, and I'm going to be pretty good. And genetics, I do think, help here. Like the grandfather thing is a good thing. And you would hope that a guy who has good seems to have good sense of what he's trying to do with the plate would hit the way that he would hit. Now, he's trying to defer some of the defy some of the numbers, and we'll see. But yes, if you said stock up or stock down on him, I would definitely take stock up.
Well, what about in baseball in general? Now, of course, we're on the West Coast, and things seem so far away in the Central. I haven't heard enough. I think Cincinnati, negative test today. I thought I heard that. But what's going on? The Cardinals finally played a couple of games. The Nationals, Scherzer looked like he was going to have a good game today. The Mets are still kicking around. Well, what's your? Give me a little bit of the Central and the East.
Well, the who's hot starts with a guy who's not playing today. Jesse Winker of the Reds has 5 homers in his last 5 games. He's hitting almost 700 in that stretch. He's basically been the hottest hitter in baseball for the last week or so. So I would put him up there. In the who's not in the Central, I had Miguel Cabrera, who was hitting under 100 this week. And well below 200 for the season. I've been watching him with the Tigers. He looks like a guy who's nearing the end, unfortunately. Maybe he can bounce back from that. So those are my Central Division, I guess, hots and nots. Around the West, Dylan Bundy, we talked about that, I think, before, that he's continued to look very good. He's changed his pitching approach. More first pitch curveballs. We actually had an article on our website that one of my colleagues wrote where he was one of those guys. They also pair him, I think, they've paired him a couple of times with Max Stassi, who's a very good defensive catcher, and he's made that work. Also in the West, Nolan Arenado's having a good week, surprise, surprise, but he's not playing the Giants. 421, 3 homers in his last 5 games, and it seems like every time I watch Quick Pitch in the morning, they're showing a web gem or 2 web gems or 3 web gems. From Nolan Arenado. Plus, Nick Ahmed's on a really good roll for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, they're playing. He's hitting
500 the last week with 10 runs scored and 9 runs batted in. Another guy normally known for his defense, but looking pretty good at the plate. Do I have anyone else for who's not? I don't have anyone else for who's not, but that's my list at this point.
Well, how about Lance Lynn? Where did this come from?
Yeah, suddenly, like, he's a super caliber Cy Young winner. I'm stalling again here because I know that we had something on Lance Lynn.
Well, that's all right. But complete game, 2 hits or less, I think, at Coors. And people don't do that. Complete game.
Slider's been awesome. Shutt's been awesome. Everything's been really good for him. I just watched him strike a guy out with a high fastball and looked pretty good. Opponents, 2-for-26 against the slider, 0-for-8 against the changeup, and 0-137 against the fastball. So everything's working for him at this point. Yep.
All right. Great stuff as always. I love talking ball with you on Sunday. And Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. The guy gave you a lot of play. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, you got it.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Boy, so we got baseball coming up. What a pregame. We got you ready for baseball today. Logan Webb and Mike Fiers, we've kind of put yesterday and Friday night to rest, and now we got a game today. Up to the booth right after this on the Sports Leader.